The hell is this stuff?
Oh my God.
World famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico, Southern California.
Can you teach me?
This is General Galen Shaw. I'm Robert Lennon.
And I'm Margaret Gray in the middle of this cacophony here. This is called Lean and Dab, I think.
What does that mean, lean and dab? That's kind of like instructions on a bottle of Ajax or something, huh? A bottle of Ajax.
On cleanser, I think, is what you're looking for. And no, it isn't. Well, anyway, welcome to the program. Here's Phil Henry.
Thank you. It's called Lean and Dab. It is I Love Memphis, and that's as far as that goes.
What does that mean, lean and dab?
I got no idea, General. I think the best thing to do...
I know what you're going to tell me. I'll forget about it.
No, the best thing to do is to go and buy the music yourself and go check it out.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Yeah, right. You know, the day I go out and buy this is the day I want you to just run me down with a truck.
Good Lord.
That'd be, you wouldn't want to buy it?
Yeah, I think it means something. Wow. All right. So you don't like it. There you go.
You like it, Mr. Sir?
I told you the whole reason why I like to play hip-hop and metal and a lot of that music.
Wait a minute. The other day you said you were also playing some of the other, what do they call it?
What they call the other music is called the classic rock. Is that right?
Yeah, that was it. Now, why do you play that?
I just play whatever is going to sound good on this here show. That's all I play, man. I play that. I play metal. I don't play classic rock.
Yes, you did. You said you played it.
Yeah, it's a certain kind.
No, wait. I play rock and roll, and that's... I don't know what you mean by that.
You said you played a band called The Firm.
Yeah, that's a classic rock band, but it's... Never mind. I can't go into it right now.
General, you're overtaxing Phil. This has been a long weekend for him.
Oh, that's right. I heard all about that. What did you do, Miss Arn?
Well, you know what I did. I got in the car Friday night and was like, I was in an automobile from that day forward. I mean, that moment forward, I was driving to the beach. Then I drove back here. Then I drove down to...
Well, you live at the beach. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean? What are you talking about that?
I mean, I went down to Newport Beach.
As opposed to the beach here.
As opposed to this beach up here in Ventura. I went down there to see my sisters, in the words of Chris Norton.
Talk to Chris about that, huh?
No, I didn't talk to Chris about that.
Just making fun of the way he talks.
All right, look, I'm just trying to get up to speed on all of this. Because it's been a long weekend for me, too. All kinds of screwy stuff.
But what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Okay. First of all, forget it.
He's worried about the electors and what's going on tomorrow.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about that, man. Not a lot, because I don't think it's worth it.
Well, you know, as long as they do their duty constitutionally, that's all I care about.
Yeah, you want Donald Trump.
Yes, so what?
Well, that's not constitutional.
Wait, you don't know that, man. You don't know that.
No, what about Russia and all that stuff?
If the Russians have been hacking Phil, as is every indication they have been, my God, we've got a constitutional crisis, the likes of which we haven't seen since, I would say, the Nixonian. All right?
What does that mean, Nixonian?
The Nixonian era.
Margaret, you can talk about the Nixonian era all you want. As far as I know... all is well that ends well. God damn it. When this gets complicated...
If there was hacking... You're not gonna... I got news for all of you guys. In general, there's no way those electors are not gonna invent or elect... Yes, you heard me right. Invent or elect Donald Trump.
Let's see, invent.
I don't know. I just started going that way. They're gonna... He's the next president. Don't worry about it, okay? They're not gonna do anything that's gonna... they're not gonna, you know, vote against him. And that's just it. Right now, they're going to have a congressional hearing. They're going to dig through it. If it turns out that the Russians hacked the election and they actually altered the results, which, I don't know, then, you know, we cross that bridge when we get to it, man. But there's no way in hell those electors tomorrow vote again. But then again, I didn't think there was any way in hell that Trump was going to get elected.
Yeah, right there. See, that's the whole thing.
Well, I mean, that Trump getting elected, everyone thought he would, though.
Who thought that he would?
All the people that liked him.
Well, that's true. All the people liked him did. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. Today we have Harvey Wireman's going to join us. The great Harvey Wireman, the attorney at law, the former Marine, the curmudgeon, the volunteer for the ACLU, all that stuff. He's going to talk about Frank Capra's "It's a Wonderful Life" and the enduring appeal of it. You know.
Well, he's also going to tell us what it's about, because I don't think a lot of people don't know what it's about. You know,
well, I don't think a lot of people know what it's about in the specifics. I think we all generally know, right?
Well, what do you mean we all generally know?
Yeah, in terms of like...
All right, bud, what is it about?
What?
What's It's a Wonderful Life about?
It's about, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, see, right there, so that's where this guy's gonna, you know.
This guy?
Yeah, we're talking about Harvey Weierman.
Yeah, Harvey Weierman.
Great. So Harvey's gonna come on and talk to us about that. We also have Dave Olivo joining us. Apparently, the police in a city, I forget where it was, the police busted into a car that had a lifelike-looking mannequin in it. They thought it was a real old lady. It was in New York State, and it might even have been, it's in the city of, in the town of Hudson, New York, where the weather, the temperature was just brutal this past weekend. It was really cold, and there was a mannequin that they thought was an old lady.
Now, what does that mean, they thought it was an old lady?
Thought a lot of mannequins are probably lifelike-looking.
This was really lifelike-looking. It was supposed to be lifelike-looking, and the cops thought it was real, and they busted in to save this, what they thought was an old lady. Turned out to be a mannequin that's used in life-saving classes.
Oh, yeah, like CPR class.
Oh, yes. So they make these as realistic as they can so that people will know what it... If you have to give an old woman, and I'm sure you understand, and Phil, if you need to bend down, well...
Well, yeah.
If you have to bend down and give an old woman mouth to mouth, and you're bending over it, it's...
All right, I understand, Margaret.
It could put a lot of people off, so...
So there's that, and then we also have Jack Armstrong, who talked with us... Oh, yeah, by the way, Doug Danger is back with us after a long, I guess you could say, hiatus. He's going to talk about Zsa Zsa Gabor, and she passed on at the age of 99.
Yes, Zsa Zsa Gabor was one of the iconic film... icon. I don't know what to call her.
Did you like her?
Not really, no.
All right, and then we also have, I think, one other Doug Danger story, and Jack Armstrong's going to be on with us as well to talk about some other crap. It might be the Electoral College. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go to the traffic now here with Bob Bacon. Bob?
Hey, Phil, right now, we're up to the south side of the freeway, and it's going to be up till about 5 o'clock, Bonshot. Bonzo and the Bonzo Dog Band Girls, right? And I believe Sky Boy is going to have a laugh at as well. Go down the 5-5 freeway out there, the Harbor Freight, the Hollow, and I got a patent in the halogen lamp. If anybody got a donut down there, I'll tell you what, I'll get you a hole. But he's fucking steak and he's got a bushes in it, something like that. Let's go to Sky Boy.
Hey, Mom, I got to the west side of right now. I got Sandman. Sandman was telling me a dream, like with the complexion pieces and cream, and I just went side on the 4-5 freeway. I thought about it, Sky Baby, sweet man.
Thanks a lot, Sky Baby. This is 9 pounds of swinging meat. Bob Bacon traveling.
Earl Jones with Earl Jones Bakeries. My baked goods are the greatest thing you've ever had in your life. And if they aren't, I guarantee I'll give you triple your money back. Try one of my donuts. Put it in your mouth, eat it, swallow it. If you don't think that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, I'll give you triple your money back. These are my crullers, and these are my scones. Try these, my beautiful delicacies, stuffed pastries filled with jelly and cream, and things that, quite frankly, if you let your imagination run wild, would disgust you beyond all words, and yet, the greatest, most tasty treat you've ever had. I guarantee, if this isn't the finest thing you've ever slipped into your mouth and swallowed, that's very important, I'll give you triple your money back. My name is Earl Jones, and I guarantee this message. Earl Jones Bakeries, for all your baked goods, and for some that are not yours, but someone else's.
This is Marissa Brink, and In This Moment. I'm waiting for her to break out. I think she's going to be big, real big.
You were singing that 3 years ago.
Anyway, that's the song that's called Blood, In This Moment. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So we were telling you about it, and Dave Oliva right now is at school at L.A. Canyon. He's taking law enforcement at L.A. Canyon, among other things. He's going to tell us about this mannequin story and just what happened. And the police, I understand, Dave, did not apologize.
No, they did not apologize, Mr. Henry. The police will not apologize. No way.
Why not? They busted in a guy's car and everything.
Because of the fact that they're there to save a life, okay? And
it's not a life, it's a mannequin.
But they didn't know that, man.
Hey, Bud, why don't you shut up?
Bud, let the guy finish, okay?
So, what happened, Mr. Henry? In Hudson, New York, police were called to the scene of what was a mannequin. Well, they didn't say there was a mannequin at the scene. They were called to the scene to see what they could do about what was an old lady in the car. And it was very, very cold, and they were sure that an old lady was freezed up in there. So the first thing they did was they went and I guess they took a baseball bat or like a maybe like a truncheon or something or a PR-24, and they busted the windows in. Now, yes, the old lady was sitting there while they was busting windows in, but they figured even if they got glass all over her and even if they, you know, maybe lacerated her, it's better that that happens than for her to get froze up. So, as the police...
Are you saying that this is a determination they made?
That would be my understanding. I wasn't there with them, but I can tell you that I think that most likely that was the assessment at that time.
Now, how do you know about... So you're saying they busted in this window knowing they could injure this woman?
Well, yeah.
Why'd they do that?
Well, think about it, man. Think about it. Well, how are you going to get somebody out of a car without busting the window in, you know? And it's not like they're going to be able to tell her to move. They can't go, hey, move, you know.
That's what I would have done. I would have tried to get in and go, hey, move. You know, when the glass starts getting busted in.
They thought she was unconscious, right?
Yeah, they didn't know she was unconscious. Plus, let's say she wasn't conscious. What if she was frozen to death? You know, she's not going to hear anything.
Well, then what is the urgency if she's frozen to death?
Well, I mean, you're right, but they didn't know she was frozen to death. They knew she was frozen. They thought she was half frozen, you know, that maybe from the neck down. Because what happens...
What do you mean from the neck down?
What happens is many times when people are subject to the thermia, you know, and that's not hyperthermia and not non-hyperthermia, but just the temperatures, in other words, and they're down, they're depressed thermia, what happens a lot of times is they will freeze, but not from the neck up. From the neck up, they're thawed out. You know, and...
You know something, I'm questioning very seriously here, Oliver, whether you...
Now, hold on, you know, I take law enforcement, okay, so...
I know you take law enforcement.
Wait, let's just get to the chase here, Dave. Don't give me any editorial comment, okay? What happened?
Yeah, well, I want to know...
No, wait, bud, because you're asking these questions.
Yeah, Mr. Turner, I can't get to the report as long as this numbnut, you know...
Hey, he's calling me a numbnut and everything!
Be quiet. Don't call him a numbnut, okay? Just, I want to get the facts, okay? Just the facts, so...
All right, let's start at the beginning again, Dave. What happened?
What happened was police were called in the middle of the night. The temperatures was really cold in Hudson, New York. They were reported to have said to have seen a lady inside of a car, and she was frozen up. So they came to the scene. They did indeed see an old lady sitting upright. She had an oxygen mask on. At that time, they made the determination they needed to bust the windows out because the old lady was not... you know, she was not responsive. They broke the windows out. They did apprehend the old lady and forced her to the ground because, you know, you don't know, you know, I mean, she was okay and everything, but you don't know if she's got a gun or you don't know what's going on.
Wait, you're telling me an old woman they came to rescue?
Because it's a standard procedure.
Did you see them do this?
Well, no, sir. I'm just assuming that's what I would do, and I think that's what any law enforcement police agency would do.
If you call out to save an old lady that you think is freezing to death, and you get her and you throw her on the ground because you think she might have a gun, man, that's out of there, man. Mentally, that's out of there. That's gone.
I think what Robert is trying to say, that is not even sane.
Well, I'll tell you something. Excuse me, Robert. You know, I don't want to, you know, talk out of school or, you know, lord it over you or anything, man, but I think I know what I'm talking about. You know, I take law enforcement.
Man, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I think I know what I'm talking about. I take law enforcement.
All right, so you take law enforcement. So they put this old lady...
Hold on. I want to ask a question. This is Phil, Dave. They forcing the old lady onto the cement and what, face down?
Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, face down.
All right. I think what everybody is asking here is simply this. If she's injured and if she is in need of help, grabbing her and forcing her down onto the cement face down because they're afraid she has a gun sort of defeats the purpose, right?
It does defeat the purpose, but you have to remember something. The number one issue, the number one thing that you've got to remember is the safety of all of the officers there, the safety and the safety of the people that are in the surrounding area. So, and then...
So the last person's safety that you think about is the lady they're actually trying to save?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, if they got a waster, they got a waster.
But
that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, they're there to save her life. You know?
Yes, but if you're saying they got to waste her, you're talking about killing her?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, if they think... Look, they want to save everybody. Everybody's got to have a life to be saved, okay? Everyone must have a life to be saved.
Yes, we get that. But taking the old lady and putting her face down on the ground...
Yeah, a lot of that is striking us as unnecessary.
Well, I'm just telling you police procedure. They grab the old lady out of the car. They force her face down onto the cement. They put her hands behind her back. They ask her if she has a weapon. At that time, they knew that she might be frozen from the neck up, so then they said, oh, yeah, that's right. We may have, you know, what's called a freeze-up, which is from the neck up. That then they flipped her over, okay?
What do you mean a freeze-up?
They got to use code, man, to...
All right, so they flip her over, then what?
Then they have to do mouth-to-mouth, and when you've got an old lady with liver spots, it's kind of like you have to get a volunteer. Sometimes it takes about 30 seconds because you've got to go between, you know, do you want to do it? Because...
All right, we're talking to Dave Oliva.
You know what, Oliva? What you're talking about right now is the biggest load of horse dung the world has ever known.
General, I think I know. I thank law enforcement.
Yeah, you may take law enforcement. You're telling me they're taking votes down whether when I give some old lady mouth to mouth.
I'm telling you right now that when it comes to an old lady with liver spots and she was in a car, you know what?
All right, so then they start to give her mouth to mouth.
Then they started to give her mouth to mouth, and they realized that she still wasn't breathing, so they began to beat her chest, and she realized, and one of the police officers that was helping with the CPR said that when he did the CPR move by putting his fists onto her chest, like beating on her chest, he noticed that his fists bounced off of the chest more than they ever have bounced off of, you know, anyone's chest before.
What do you mean bounced off?
They bounced up, man.
Because he's hitting rubber, huh?
Well, I don't know, but he said, I noticed that they bounced.
So in other words, we've got an old lady who's a mannequin, the dumbest cops that ever walked, guys that are taking a vote about CPR, and some dude whose fists are bouncing. Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm just telling you what I am ascertaining here.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, man. This is your opinion.
This is all your opinion. You haven't actually gotten this information, have you?
I have not gotten this info. Hold on. I have not gotten this information straight up, no. But it does come from the ascertainment that I made.
All right, you may make an ascertainment, Dave, but what you're saying here really, and it's being, I think, conveyed this way to the audience, these are, as General Shaw said, some of the dumbest cops that we've ever heard of. Do you want to leave that impression?
Well, Ms. Gray, you know...
Do you want to leave that impression, yes or no?
I mean, I guess no.
All right, then think about what you're saying.
I don't want to, but I have to.
All right, let's get through the CPR. So they bounce, their fists bounce off her chest.
Right. Then they finally discover when one of the dudes leaned down to give the CPR, and it took him a while, it took him 30 seconds to get up to it, to really psych himself into it, because it was kind of funky, but...
So you're telling me these paramedics as well are a bunch of jive turkeys. Is that it?
What's that mean?
I'm telling you, these guys don't want to give CPR because it's too funky, in the words that you just used.
Well, I mean...
All right, so anyway, they gave her CPR.
Yeah, they gave her CPR, and that's when the one paramedic went, wait a minute, I'm not getting any, you know, suction, and I'm not getting no blow, because the lips and the teeth were all made out of rubber, and there was no lungs, right?
In other words, there was no air passage.
Yeah, there was no air passage. And that's when the paramedic said, I'm not getting no suction, and I'm not getting no blow.
And that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say, right.
All right, we're talking to Dave Oliva here on the Phil Henry Show. Dave is a consultant on police matters.
A consultant on police matters, huh?
Wait a minute, General. A consultant on police matters. He takes law enforcement from L.A. Canyon College. And we're talking about police officers in Hudson, New York over the weekend who broke into a vehicle to save an elderly woman who they assumed was freezing to death. And it turned out to be a mannequin used in life-saving exercises by people training in CPR and emergency services. It was a lifelike mannequin, an elderly woman with even down to the liver spots on the face, the gray hair, everything, and an oxygen tank attached. And so they busted out the window. And Dave, the reason why this became a story is the damage to the car.
Well, you know, see, that's the whole thing. I mean, there was damage to the car. That's tough turkey, you know, because the police are going to do one thing and one thing only. The police are going to, do the job. They got a job to do, they got to do it, you know?
What does that mean, do the job?
I mean, if you're a police officer and you're called to the scene to save an old lady from being suffocated and everything, then you're going to do the do and the funky chicken too, like you say, and you're going to do the job.
What is it? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, man?
Didn't you just ask me, man, about they busted out the window?
Yeah, I want to know, because the story said that the first thing they did was bust out the window. They damaged the property.
Yeah, they had to damage the property because they got an old lady that froze up.
Yeah, it turned out it wasn't an old lady, you know, but I suppose...
Yeah, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, I suppose they got to assume it's a real old lady, and they got to do it. But they didn't apologize, did they?
No, they didn't apologize, and nor would I expect them to apologize, and I hope that they do not apologize. in the time since the event, in the times since the event did transpire, I'm hoping that they never do apologize to the owner.
All right, David Oliva with us on the Hudson New York. And my understanding is that the owner did complain.
Well, yeah, the owner complained. Now, I don't know whether or not the complaint was all that vociferous or long-winded, but the guy's out, he's out the side window. But the police did say, and they released an announcement. I don't know if you have that, Dave.
Yeah, the announcement basically reads, be advised that the police of Hudson, New York, if they see a lifelike person inside of a car that they determine is in danger, be advised, you're going to get your windows busted out, and they're going to try to save that person.
So, in other words, they're not apologizing.
No, they're not apologizing, and I'm glad they're not.
Well, I don't think they should apologize either. I think that they were doing their job.
What are you talking about, man? I want to apologize.
Why shouldn't they? They should apologize. I mean, they overstepped their bounds.
No, they did not overstep.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Margaret, they didn't overstep their bounds when they thought that there was a human being that was in need of help. Yes, when they finally did grab the woman and threw her on her face, thinking she might have a weapon, and then took votes as to who wanted to give her, mouth-to-mouth, yes, that was unprofessional. All right,
wait a minute. That wasn't determined. That's something that Dave came up with.
Well, I mean, that's based upon my,
That's based upon your assumptions.
Yeah, it's based upon my assumptions of what would be, So,
all right. So in other words, we don't even know that happened.
Well, the point is that there was damage done to an automobile as the result of these police officers not being able to recognize a real person from a dummy, a plastic mannequin that was propped up in the car.
Yeah, and I don't know that they're ever going to be expected to, and I don't know that that should be their number one priority.
Well, aren't police officers supposed to recognize a toy gun from a real one?
Not really, no.
I don't know that they are.
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. That's why they put like an orange barrel.
But what has that got to do with a mannequin? In one instance, it's a gun that could kill the police officer, so he's got to make a decision. In the other instance, it's a mannequin. It's either a real human being or it isn't, and the only decision he has to make is bust out the window. And if I'm giving mouth-to-mouth to a dummy, well, then...
Then he's the dummy.
Yeah, then he looks like the dummy.
And you think that's all right?
Yes, I think it's all right. Yes, I understand the police officers and their move. Dave, we got to take a phone call here, if you don't mind. We've got a few people interested in the story. Our number is 855. What is our number anyway?
855-500.
855-500-7445. Dave Ola on the lines with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about a dummy, a mannequin that was found in an automobile over the weekend in Hudson, New York, that police officers were advised was real. And in point of fact, the mannequin was not. But they did bust out the window, drag the mannequin out, throw it on the ground, and then realize that...
We're not even sure they threw it on the ground.
Yeah, well, not sure that they threw it on the ground. Let's go over to it's Don Mixa in Seattle. Don, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Phil, I'm great. I wanted to talk to the young man there. Your name is Dave, right?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Dave, I've been consulting with police officers throughout the country, and I have given mouth-to-mouth, though, unfortunately, because I do smoke, I smoke a lot of cigarettes, and...
We're very familiar with Don.
Oh, you're Don Mixer, right?
Yeah, and I guess my reputation precedes.
Now, you've given mouth-to-mouth, huh?
I have. I've tried to give mouth-to-mouth to people, but because I smoke cigarettes and drink milk, and I'm not a big believer in dentists, I have pretty wretched breath, and... I had been advised, either you get your teeth fixed or you get your teeth cleaned or use mouthwash or you give up on the idea of giving CPR. And my question is this. If you have an individual who is in need of CPR and the individual's breath is wretched, do you continue to give the CPR?
Okay.
No. Hold on, Phil. I've been waiting for this moment.
Oh, you think this is your big moment, Don?
Yes, I do, because this is exactly what I tried to ask.
No, hold on, Don. You're sick.
Wait. This is exactly what I tried to ask.
Gotta let Don finish, because it's a big moment.
What's the big question?
All right. Here's my big question, because I've been getting all kinds of heat from everybody on this panel. If you have a police officer or a fireman whose breath is as wretched as living hell. I mean, it could, as we like to say on the Phil Henry Show, and because I've heard it said a million times, it would gag a buzzard right off the back of a meat wagon or off the back of a meat... Excuse me for a minute. It would gag a buzzard off the back of a meat taxi. All right? You understand? You follow me?
Oh, yeah. I guess so, yeah.
All right. Would you still give CPR to an individual who was lying there and needed it?
Well, yes, sir. I don't think there's any question.
All right, that's all you have to say. See? So I think what...
Well, what's your big point here, Don?
I think you hear my big point. You can talk all you want about my breath, and how wretched my breath is. And yes, it is. It's bad. As a matter of fact, I smelled it the other day for the first time. I think for the first time in my life, I allowed myself, I really consciously made an effort to get rid of the prejudice, get rid of all of the biases and the bigotry that I've been suffering from, get rid of my self-delusion, and go ahead and stare my lousy breath right in the face. And I went ahead and allowed myself for the first time to actually smell my bad breath. And it was something I don't think I'll ever forget for as long as God allows me to live on this planet. And God help me, and may God forgive me for what I've done to others.
All right, so therefore you realize that it is, and yet you'd still go ahead and give someone mouth to mouth.
That's exactly what this yuck man said. This yuck man?
Yeah, I called you a yuck man.
This young man.
Well, look, I mean, if my breath was as bad as what you just said, and there's a lady laying there like it's a dummy.
No, not a dummy, a real person. Or maybe you don't know.
Not a dummy, a real person, or I don't know.
Let's say it's this situation in New York.
Okay, and my breath is bad?
Yeah, not just bad, but scientifically, some of the worst that even, not just scientists, but clerics, men of the cloth, people who exorcise demons for a living, some of the worst they've ever smelled. And I don't know if you've ever been in a room during an exorcism, but the room fills with a stink.
Woo-hoo! Oh.
Have you?
Have I what?
Have you ever been in the room with an exorcism?
Have I ever been in the room with an exorcism?
Yeah, you heard him, because you just said that's some of the worst thing that anybody's ever smelled.
What did you think?
Look, Don, don't give me a hard time, okay?
I don't think I have, Phil, but the anecdotal information is yes. The room fills with a stink. So that's what I'm asking this young man, Dave Oliva. If your breath is lousy...
Well, yes, sir, I would have to say, sir, yes, yes, I would give the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and then... You know, let the chips fall where they may. Let the chips fall where they may.
Well, that's all you can do. You got to save a life.
All right, right there, Phil. I rest my case. Don Mixer. And
hey, Don, you can't hang up.
What are you talking about?
You can't. We fixed it so you can't hang up. We have to let you hang up.
I was about to lock out.
Yeah, well, you can't lock out. Phil hangs up on you.
That's the biggest load of horse.
All right, thanks a lot, Don, and thank you very much, Dave Oliva. We got to move on here.
You just called him Dave Oliva.
Dave Oliva, I'm sorry, David.
Yeah, Dave Oliva's still hanging on.
What do you mean he's still hanging on? I just hung up on him.
Well, I mean, he called back.
All right, David, I'm sorry, buddy. We do not have time to continue here. I appreciate you being with us. And where can people go to get more information?
Okay, people can go to Hudson, the New York State Police, Hudson Police of the New York State.
New York State Police?
No, I'm sorry. Hudson Police, Hudson State Police. In the city of New York.
What?
I'm sorry.
It's the Hudson City Police.
Yeah, Hudson City Police in New York State. They can get more information from them there. And there's also a company that makes anatomically correct and very vivid and very lifelike dummies for people who are, you know, doing emergency services to train on. And it's called Dummy Life. And the other one's called Hotline to the Dummy. Okay? And another one's called Spank a Dummy, but we don't have that number.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hang up for it.
Because he's full of crap.
No, there is. Seriously, there was a company called Spank a Dummy, which...
Yeah, they make them because we were looking into it.
What were you looking into?
Hey, Phil, don't look at me like I'm lying. I'm saying as we were doing research...
Yes, Phil, we looked into a company. There's one called Spank a Dummy.
Spank a Dummy.
What are you looking at?
And what do they do?
All right, we're kidding.
We thought we could...
Is there any company...
Yes, that dummy hot... There's one called Lifeline to Dummy Land.
And that...
What are you... Oh, my God, he's laughing. Laughing at efforts to save lives.
Mr. Henry, Lifeline to Dummy Land.
Lifeline to Dummy Land. Seriously, Phil, Lifeline to Dummy Land, we understand, makes some of the most lifelike...
Some of the most lifelike dummies. Let's call them what they are, mannequins.
Yes, very lifelike mannequins. Although this is called Lifeline to the Dummy Land.
Yeah, Lifeline to the Dummy Land.
All right, never mind.
It is.
Never mind. If I hear one more word, I'm gonna flip. All right, we got a lot we got a lot going on.
Easy for you to say.
Man, that's an old one. Yeah, he's kind of old.
Yeah, kinda.
Anyway, what about Harvey Weinman? Is that?
Yeah. Harvey Weinman's next here, and we have also more news there on Zsa Zsa Gabor, and we also have an elector report from Jackson Armstrong here at the world famous Phil Henry Show coming up.
Keep getting that
stick with us.
Even if a nigga got a rabbit, get it.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray. But we the Woo! Black
boy, we gonna set it up. Hi, fans. Jack I. Gangner here. It's going to be Jack I. Gangner on sports coming up this week. Jack I. Gangner will be commenting on the upcoming bowl games as well as the National Football League playoffs that are going to be coming up. I'm Jack I. Gangner, and I'll be with you with I. Gangner on sports right here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show starting this week. What time? I don't know. What day? I don't know. Will we actually do it? I don't know.
I. Gangner on sports on the world-famous Phil Henry Show starting the week of, what is this? December 19th.
On PhilHenryShow.com.
Well, we are into our second week of our big voice message promotion at the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. Now, what happens is this. If you get a year subscription from our website, we will create the voice message that you want, that you specify, using the character of your choice. Is it General Shaw? Is it Dave Oliva? Is it Steve Bozell? Is it Ted Bell? Is it Margaret Gray? Is it Bobby Dill? Is any one of, God knows what, 50 different characters and 50 different guests we've had on the show down through the years, proving to be one of the more popular promotions we've done on the website? You can get a year's subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and a voice message done in the voice of the character of your choice by simply subscribing at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com.
Do it today.
World famous Phil Henry Show. It is. It's the week of the 19th of December, 2016. How about that, huh?
It's a trip, man, and we've got a brand new president, and, you know, I don't think there's going to be a doubt that we have a brand new president. Jack Armstrong joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'll tell you what, this presidential election has been like no other. Everybody knows it, and everyone is aware of the fact that it's been emotional, it's been a roller coaster ride, and there's a lot of bad feelings and everything like that, but I don't think there's any doubt, Jack, is there, that people will accept what the electors say and that the electors are about ready to make Donald Trump the next president of the United States.
I've got to tell you something, Phil. I'm not 100% sure of that. I'm not 100% sure of that.
Why?
Well, because I think there's enough gray area, I think, to say to anyone that maybe this has not been the most fair election that has ever gone down. I think what's going down has got a lot of people scared. I think that when you look at America, the great country that it is, and then you think about the fact that maybe there was the Russians that was calling the shots and perhaps changing the outcome so that it is favorable to Donald Trump. All of these things go into the mix. And I don't think there's any doubt in the mind that a lot of people are going to look at that and they're going to be very afraid about that.
Yeah, but we're talking about the electors, you know.
Well, okay. If you ask, what are you asking me then?
I'm asking you, is there any doubt?
Is there any doubt the electors are going to vote for Donald Trump?
If you're talking about the electors, is that's what you're asking?
Yeah, man, the electors.
Yeah, talk about the electors.
All right, if you're asking me about the electors, then we got to start all over again. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, unless I miss my guess, and I've been doing this kind of political reporting for quite some time, that I believe the electors, those are the ones.
Yes, Jackson.
Okay,
you gotta watch your language, all right?
I'm sorry, did that go out?
Yes, it did.
I apologize. No, the electors are going to vote for Donald Trump. There's no question about that.
Okay, well, that's what I was asking you.
But the bigger question is, should they, and will the American people and the Congress of the United States, will they accept that? And should they be told, you know, and reminded of their duty under the Constitution, which is to say, hey, we don't think that this election is the best one.
Not going to happen.
We don't think that. Well, hold on. Just hear me out for a minute. We don't think the election, this has been the best one. We think maybe the Russians.
Nope, it's not going to happen.
Come on, man. Let me just finish it.
Look, if you don't mind, Jackson, this is an election that was unusual. There's no question. But Donald Trump will not be denied. He's going to make a big, big stink if they don't choose him the Electoral College.
Yeah, but you just let me finish what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're not going to let it happen. They're not going to overturn the election.
Come on.
See, the problem with you, Jackson...
I mean, what I'm just saying is, you admit, don't you, that the Russians, it's possible...
What you don't see, Jackson...
Don't, isn't it possible?
Wait. What you don't see, Jackson, is while there is suspicion and while there is perhaps evidence ahead of December the 19th, which is tomorrow, which is today, actually, the day that they actually cast their ballots, there is no proof. There's no real compelling evidence and no proof that this has happened. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that the Central Intelligence Agency is correct when they say there is evidence, but is it the kind of overwhelming, compelling evidence?
Yeah, so you just said that there is evidence, then you go, but is it evidence?
And what is your problem, anyway?
I'm trying to get the story out to make the report.
He wants to finish the report, but your report, you're saying that there's something wrong. All we want to know is if the elector going to do it.
If the elector is going to do it.
If the electors are going to do it.
Yes, yeah, they're going to do it, but you won't let me...
All right, that's all we wanted. Then we'll let you finish what you have to say, but I want to make it very clear that the Electoral College is going to vote for Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, God... You know, you wanted me to come on the program.
Yeah, well, listen, it's Phil's show, you know.
Yeah, I know it's Phil's show, but you wanted me to come on the program, and you wanted me to say, you know, who's going to win. And I'm trying to say to you that I think that, yeah, of course Donald Trump, they're going to vote for him. But should they? Should they? Is my question.
All right, well, now we can get into that. Should they? I'll ask you, Jackson. Should they?
No, they should not, because of the evidence of the Russians have been hacking into the computers. I don't see how anybody who calls himself an American could look at this evidence and not say, hey, wait a second, man, this is not a fair election. This was a foreign government committing a belligerent act. And I'll tell you one other thing, General. Don't you think that's an act of war?
Let me tell you something, young man.
Don't you think that it is an act of war? Don't you think...
Wait, don't go into a sing-songy thing.
Now, hold on for a minute, man. Yeah, just wait. I've been to war. And I know what a war means, and I know what it costs a country, and I know what kind of resources are committed, and I know the upheaval, the absolute, not only national, but international upheaval that it causes. And you better think real clear, and you better be damn sure before you throw this country into any war. And that's all I've got to say about that. As far as going to war against the Russians, my friend, you're going up against the second most powerful nation in the world.
Yes, but we are the most powerful nation.
I don't give a damn. They are a powerful nation, and they are currently, I might add, at war themselves. So, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, you think we'd win?
I have no doubt we'd win. We'd have to unleash our nuclear arsenal. But you're talking about World War III because of the hacking of an election.
All right, well, then what is the appropriate response?
The appropriate response is to counterattack with a cyber attack.
Okay, so you're talking about with the War Games response.
What do you mean the War Games response?
That's exactly what Matthew Broderick did in War Games in 1985, you know?
Yeah, but that's a movie.
I don't care. That's the same thing.
I'm talking about a precise launching of missiles, only computer missiles, that blow up the whole, I don't know.
All right, we're talking here with, so you don't know, do you?
No, I don't, but I don't think it should be a fighting one. I think it should become a cyber attack of some kind.
Well, what kind of a cyber attack are you talking about?
Where you can see the missiles on the screen and they're blowing things up, but they're not really.
Well, yeah, so you're talking about the war games.
Well, whatever you want to call that.
A video game.
No, it's not a video game. You're actually attacking them, but yeah, no, you're not really, but you're actually attacking them. And you're seeing the missiles launch, and the cities are being blown to hell and back. And you can even have little characters that go, ah, and they're walking out of the rubble with blood coming out of their ears.
Oh, for God's sake, General.
Well, I'm just saying. And then I think we'd win that. I think we'd win that big time.
Yeah, but that's not really a war.
It's good enough because...
What are you doing, keeping score?
Oh, is that it? So all it is to you is keeping score. I just got done telling you, you have animated figures staggering out of the rubble going, ah, with blood.
I know they got animated figures. What is this, some kind of a game you set up with the Russians and whoever wins, wins?
I'm telling you, it beats the living hell out of a real war, my friend. Yeah, beats the living hell out of it.
Now, I mean, you have a war like that, and then you got to agree who won one. I mean, how do you really win a war like that?
Why don't you say that again, and this time try to do it without all that cotton and mush mouth.
I said, if you have a war like that, how do you know who really won? Because anybody can say they won, and anybody can say, I don't accept the results.
Well,
hey, am I still the guest on this program here?
Hold on for a minute, will you, Jack? So?
Well, you have to agree to the rules. You have a war game. You have scores. And whoever has the highest score.
What are you talking about? It's like the Russians are going to do that.
I'm telling you, the Russians would agree to it if we had the right war game program and they blow cities up and you've got guys staggering out of the rubble.
Yeah, I know, going, ah.
Look, Henry, I'm trying to give you a viable alternative.
I'd like to say something if I could because I'm the guest.
Hold on, Jackson. We'll get to you in a minute. Phil, the idea, you know, Matthew Broderick's war games, of course, was ridiculous, but the idea of two countries going at it in a video scenario
is an asinine idea. It's not going to happen. Nobody, even the American people themselves, will think it a ridiculous thing. And I'm not saying we ought to go to war, but we ought to have a cyber attack that attacks their systems.
What are you talking about?
I mean, go in and start to compromise some of their security, compromise some of their domestic workings. Go in and screw with them, okay?
That could mean war.
What do you think we're talking about here?
That's exactly what we're talking about, to go to war. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, you guys don't understand. I'm saying a calculated war
where the guys are walking out of the rubble going, ah.
Yes. Well,
all right. Thank you, Jackson, for your report.
Yeah, but you guys are not listening to me.
You're saying the same thing he's saying that everybody is saying. You're saying that there's a cyber attack of some kind. I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying that if there is a compromised system that shows that the Russians went in to do the elections, okay?
Yeah.
That, I don't know.
Every one of your guests does the same thing. When we get them right down to the nut cutting on what we should do, they all go, I don't know.
I don't. I forget what it was I was going to say.
But you're on here. You're talking about whether or not there was a cyber attack. And you said that there was, but that the electors will elect Donald Trump.
Right. The electors are going to elect Donald Trump.
All right. But if we found out it was a cyber attack years later.
Then we should have a war.
What kind?
I agree with the general.
Yeah. Have a video game war.
Yeah. Because they've got programs now where the guy
comes out of the rubble and goes, ah.
Yeah, no, he comes out of the rubble and goes, ah, ah. Now, for my money, that's the most.
That is,
well, you're looking at me like I'm nuts.
Why wouldn't I look at you like you're nuts? Why wouldn't I look at all of you like you're nuts?
Well, you're looking at me like I'm nuts.
What kind of a video game program is the United States of America and Russia, what are we going to agree on? Some kind of a game?
No, sir, they could do that. Like, you know, what was that, Star Trek?
Yeah, the Star Trek. Where the people were put into chambers and disintegrated because they represented a people that was killed in a video game.
It
was a computerized attack, yes. And the Russians send over a computerized missile, and it blows one of the computerized cities up. And then the computer, yes, you're right, but the guy comes out of the rubble screaming. But then you take a real person and you grease them.
Yes, you disintegrate them in some sort of an electronic disintegrator.
See, this is what happens when we start, you know, watching.
Oh, here we go. Here comes Daddy Phil. He's going to tell us how we're all full of crap and we can't dream. We're not even allowed to dream.
What, do you got a ball?
I feel like it.
No, Stanley, why can't we dream?
You can dream all you want, man. You got to have a realistic way of dealing with realistic problems. If the Russians are proven to have been inside our election system, they were hacking our computers, they were whatever they were doing, even if they didn't affect the election, the fact they were in there, as they say, it was a belligerent act, and a belligerent act is generally answered with another belligerent act by the people being offended. That would be us, as in the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor. What did we do?
What
did we do after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor?
We put the fires out.
We attacked them, you clown.
Yeah.
We attacked them. We declared war on them. All right, folks, Doug Danger back with us here in a moment. Also, Harvey Wireman on It's a Wonderful Life, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Good to have you with us. Tell me what you wanna do.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California. Absolutely beautiful weekend here in California. We hope you're enjoying yourselves. Also, well, never mind. Baby, just be
comfortable. Five city councilmen will be sitting there waiting for you to vote on a big, big issue, a bond issue that could affect our entire neighborhood. Come on out to the city council meeting this Friday night, 8 o'clock, the city council meeting, as we vote on a sewer system for the northern part of the city. Be there! Abercrombie City Council will be meeting 8 o'clock on a Friday night. You can be there, too, and you can vote on this big, big bond issue, a sewer system for the north of the city. Come on out. There'll be coffee. There'll be donuts. Wild and crazy kinds of conversations. Gadflies. People interrupting other people. And the meetings. And the motions. And all of the this and the that and the so on and the so forth. It's this, the Abercrombie City Council meeting. It'll be the city council meeting you this weekend, voting on that big sewer system for the north of the city, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Be there!
Hope you don't mind for the time, girl, you mind. Tell me one more time.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show here on this Monday. It's
It was a very lovely weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really nice. We were living.
Yeah, and I had a chance to go back to my hometown. I went back into the San Gabriel Valley, you know, it's where I grew up, and I saw my good friend Don and Pam and the family. They got a beautiful home in Sierra Madre, which is a suburban city in the foothills northeast of Los Angeles. And I grew up in Arcadia, which is the town below that. But one of the things that's happening in Sierra Madre is the same thing happened in Arcadia. They're doing this McMansion thing.
Oh, what are they doing? They're taking those lots, those gorgeous lots, with those beautiful homes.
Yeah, they're bulldozing those homes that are, some of them are pre-war ranch-style houses. And they have those big lots because they had horses out there at one time, I guess.
Yeah, they even rode the horses down the street.
I still remember, I'm telling you, as a little kid, I remember seeing people riding on horses along trails, right along the side of Longdon or Duarte.
Wait, now, but this is where, in Arcadia?
In Arcadia. This is my little town out there where the racetrack is. And people were still riding on horses out for the horse trails, ran right through the town. Well, now they're taking all those beautiful homes, like I said, they're like pre-war. They're not restoring them, and they're not remodeling them. They're bulldozing them. They're putting in those mansions.
You know something? The first guy to put one of those McMansions in should have been taken out and summarily executed for what he did to the whole... Oh, man.
You know something, General? I think you're a little... I love some of the granite countertops and that sort of thing.
What do you mean the granite? Who gives a sweet JC? You're taking these homes and destroying them.
Well, but they do have the spas and the saunas.
Yeah, but you don't have to tear a whole house down to do that. And these McMansions are ugly as hell. They don't even go with the surroundings, you know?
What do you mean the surroundings, Lieutenant?
Well, there's a certain look. There's a certain, you know, there's a certain look that part of the county has. It's kind of ranchy and old westy and whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, there's mountains are sitting there. And these cats come in and they're building these, like, gated community, like Bobby Dooley would fall in love with some of these houses. So I don't know. I almost got lost, man. I didn't know where I was. I didn't recognize anything until I finally made my way back up there. All right, we're going to, I know we have Harvey Weirman on the phone here. We'll talk to Harvey about It's a Wonderful Life, and I guess Harvey's been studying it. And I realize this is sort of a stupid little piece of homework for you, Harvey. What'd you think?
Well, you know, I know It's a Wonderful Life. There's no, what's the big thing with the...
Well, the idea of It's a Wonderful Life, a lot of people don't know what it's about. Nobody really knows the plot unless you've seen it.
Let me get some water. It's a Wonderful Life is a movie by Frank Capra. Now, I don't, I'm not a showbiz lawyer like Gray is or some of these people. But It's a Wonderful Life is a movie by this guy, Frank Capra. He'd done some big movies.
Yeah, he did, what is it called?
Well, It Happened One Night is...
Yeah, It Happened One Night with Clark Gable.
What is his name?
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable and Claude Colbert.
Claudette Colbert.
Claudette Colbert. And then a lot of these other ones. So this is a movie that's about a guy. I can't believe people don't know what it's about.
A lot of people have seen him, Mr. Henry.
Well, I want to hear it described, see? It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life, It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know how many people have actually described it and have actually, you know, people have heard the plot.
Yeah, well, okay. The plot goes like this. There's a guy named George Bailey. He lives in a little town, and he wants to go out and do things, but every time he wants to go out and do things, something happens in the town that needs his attention. For instance, he wants to go see the world, but right after he gets married, there's a run on the bank. It's just, I guess, during the Depression, so he's got to stay behind and make sure people are loan money because he owns the bank and the building and loan.
And what's a building and loan?
The building and loan is a bill. Well, I got to start again.
Never mind, bud. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So it's a bank. Okay.
Right.
So where was I?
You were talking about how he was going on his honeymoon.
Yeah, he was going on his honeymoon. He had to stay. And then what else happened? He ran out of money, and then he meets an angel, and I don't know.
All right, it is a little convoluted, but...
He meets this angel. He tells the angel, you know, I can't do anything right, and I wish I was never born. And then he tries to jump in the river, and the angel saves him. And the angel's name is a guy by the name of... What the hell's this guy's name?
It's Clarence Oddbody, right?
Yeah, there you go, right there, what the man said, Clarence Oddbody. And...
What's that?
He's an angel.
An angel.
And he saves him. So... then he shows him what the world would be like if he was never born.
That's pretty big. Was it different?
Jesus Christ, Dickman.
Dickman, would you slow down?
God.
I mean, did it look different?
Yeah, it looked different. It was all different. It wasn't even called Baileyville or whatever the hell it was called. It was,
What was the name of the town?
It was, it was called, I forget, but if he'd never lived, it would have been called Potterville, because old man Potter was a real piece of garbage. That he was like just this terrible old man that lent people money at usurious rates and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, a lot of things changed. And one other thing was he saved this kid from being poisoned when he was a little kid. He worked for the pharmacist, and this pharmacist was some old drunk who put the wrong medicine in this box, and it was about to be delivered. And Bailey, when he was a kid, said, "You can't deliver it. It's poison. It'll kill him." And he'd been slapped in the ear and made his ear bleed. And so I think that old creep messed up Bailey's ear.
No. Bailey's ear got messed up when he went in the lake saving his brother.
What the hell, man? How many different...
It's a very involved story. You can't just, remember all of it. You're doing a good job, though, Harvey. But obviously there's some things missing.
Well, look, I mean, there's things missing because the story is... It's a difficult story to read and to input because there's so many things I would never have stood for what this guy Bailey stands for.
Well, what do you mean you wouldn't have stood for? The story goes...
I know how the story goes. Number one, that odd body, I would have strangled to death. I'm not saying it's right or I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I think it's unusual to expect a man... This guy Bailey meets this odd body, right?
Clarence Oddbody, the angel.
Yeah. I would have strangled it to death if it had butted in while I'm trying to jump and I'm trying to get my light. And here he is just, he had the Irish accent. I would have said, "What did you say?" And I would have taken him by the throat and I would have banged his head on the railing of the bridge until he was dead. Then I would have...
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's what I would have. Then I would have made my way back into town over the bridge to the bar. I would have walked into the bar, ordered a drink, and the minute... Anybody gave me any lip, I would have started swinging on everybody. I probably would have wound up beating up the bartender at half the bar. Then I would have walked out of there.
So in other words, you wouldn't have... It would have been worse if you were in the movie.
What would have been worse?
This whole life they're trying to figure out. It's a Wonderful Life. With George Bailey, it changed for the better. When he wasn't there, old man Potter screwed things up. But with you around, you would have killed half the town.
Yeah, I guess we would have.
Yay! Very nice.
I'm Harvey Wyrman. What's it to you?
Jesus. See, that's the whole point.
Well, I mean, the whole point is the story is infuriating. And of course, it doesn't lend at all to reality.
Well, I mean, look, it's a fable. It's not a fable. It's a modern day, what do they call those things? A fable, yeah.
Yes, like it's a moral tale. A moral tale.
What's a moral tale?
A moral tale is it's like a donkey's tail, only it's a moral tail. A moral is a small animal.
Come on.
I'm just saying. It's a tail that helps us be better people. But
you in that story, it wouldn't have happened, huh?
No, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. That's why you have to have unusual people. And in those kinds of stories, you always have to have a hero who's a cut above the rest of us. So if you put yourself in that story, Phil, what would you have done?
What do you mean, what would I have done?
Well, that's a good question. What would you have done? Would you have gone out of town?
No, I wouldn't have gone out of town. If I saw that was my bank, and there was a run on my bank...
And you would have gotten out of the car, and you would not have had the honeymoon.
Not a chance. You have to go. It's your business. Your business is being affected.
Yeah, but see, you're worried about your business, not the people.
Well, look, I'm worried that there's not going to be enough money for those people, so I got to go in there, and I got to make sure what's going on.
Yeah, see, that's different. Bailey didn't give a damn about his business. He just wanted money, wherever he could get it, whoever he could rob, steal, beg, borrow, it didn't matter. And it was all about the people. He wanted the people to be okay. His bank, he could have taken it, set fire to it, and put the embers out with his urine. That is...
All right, thank you very much. We got Harvey Wyrman on the line with us as we talk about It's a Wonderful Life, which is gets jaw-jacked and gum-slapped to death. Each and every year.
What do you mean gun slapped?
Gum slapped to death each and every year. And I wanted to know if you can actually tell the story in a coherent way. And I don't frankly think you can without making all of these, side trips.
Well, Phil's whole idea was go ahead and tell the story of It's a Wonderful Life and see if you can do it without having to go in a big, long explanation every minute or so.
Well, in that case, he's right. Because you can't just talk about it. You got to, oh, yeah, and then there's this thing. So you got to watch it, and after you watch it, then you'll either love it or you'll say what I said, which was, is that it? That's what everybody has been screaming and crying about for the last 70 years. Every time I turned around, someone is yelling and grabbing my leg and humping my leg, you know, and telling me.
Harvey Weinman, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
Nice.
What a vulgar man.
Well, you know what? I mean, he's not right. He's not half wrong. I mean, he's not right, but he's not half wrong.
Well, I'll tell you this. There was a time in my life when I watched It's a Wonderful Life probably every year. I don't think I've seen it for about 5 years, not because I'm avoiding it, but because I don't seek it out anymore.
But when did this thing, I don't understand, when did this thing first take on currency as some big-time holiday, you know, movie?
I don't know. I think it was about, it's 30 years at least. I think in the 80s is when Turner, with cable.
Yeah, it's when a cable, when a Turner Classic Movies and everything in the cable.
What are you talking about, man, with a cable?
Well, you know, you don't finish sentences when the cable or the Turner, what does that mean?
When Turner Classic Cable Movies came out.
When Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah, when Turner Classic Movies came out, that's when it started to do it.
No, you're wrong, because Turner Classic Movies, you're talking about TBS.
Yeah.
All right, now that makes, I think you're right. I think TBS is the super station there, WTBS in Atlanta. I think those are the guys that actually popularized it. And, you know, they got a hold of it. It was in the library.
Well, Ted Turner had bought all the rights to all those movies.
Yeah, and he got a hold of that one and started playing it every Christmas. There you go. All right, man. Well, we made it through a Monday, which is a beautiful thing. We thank you very much. I hope we go. We didn't get to Doug Danger.
Well, you can get to Doug Danger tomorrow.
We will have Doug Danger on tomorrow to talk about Zsa Zsa Gabor and a whole lot of other stuff. By the way, if I didn't mention it, I was remiss, but I will mention, and I say this not because... I say this because I really want to mention it today, over the weekend. Bob Coburn, a longtime disc jockey at Los Angeles, KLOS Radio, one of the seminal album rock stations in Los Angeles. Bob died this past weekend at the age of 68, a long battle with lung cancer. He was a beloved voice on the air in the city of Los Angeles. He was an influence to a lot of young people getting into the business. I thought he was a friendly, wonderful guy, a warm guy. He was everything that I think a midday disc jockey should be. He was your friend, and he played your music, and he had a great set of pipes. He was also the host of a long-running, and I think will probably become legendary, radio show called Rockline, which used to be on every Monday night. Bob hosted it, and he brought in some heavy hitters, man. He had everybody on that show from Paul McCartney, George Harrison, everybody all the way through The Who, Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac, everybody. And everyone listened to the show. Those shows, I know, will be made available. And I do hope that the copyright, that the rights to those shows are respected and that they are used for the benefit of Bob, his family, and the people who put the hard work of producing and selling and putting that on the air are the beneficiaries. So all of us here at the Phil Henry Radio Show family wish Bob Coburn's family and his fans and his friends the very, very best and the very, very happiest of days to come. Thanks a lot, Bob.